Love that. And then we're going to be starting a new series today. Excited about this one. This is going to be called The Battle I Can't See, right? The Battle I Can't See. And really what we're going to do in the course of this series is begin to look at some of the kind of the spiritual realities that we don't always recognize or know about. And we're going to take some time to kind of to look at those realities. And I know that even as I begin to talk about spiritual realities or the unseen world, some of you are here and you maybe don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're like me and didn't grow up in the church or don't have much interaction with the Bible. You might even be somebody that's here that is, you maybe have been around church a long time, but you're skeptical about certain spiritual things. And that's, I want you to know, that's all fine and good that you're here. Would you just be willing to have maybe an open mind? That maybe God would continue to kind of open up truth to you and I in the course of this journey. Because here's the thing, the reality is sometimes there's a spiritual world and we don't always recognize it, we can't see it, but we feel the symptoms of it. We feel some of the symptoms of it. So if you've ever wondered, man, why are there so many wars and conflicts? Why is our world like so messed up? Right? It seems like there's a lot of great people. There's people that do a lot of great things. How come over all this time, all these technological advancements, all this progress, at the end of the day, there's still like a whole lot of problems when it comes to relationships and even nation rising up against nation? How come we can't just like get along? Maybe you have wondered before, how come I can't totally change me? Right? How come I tend to have an easier time doing the wrong thing and a harder time doing the right thing? If you've ever wondered that before, right? If you've ever wondered if there's something going on behind the scenes that maybe I don't always recognize, you can kind of feel it or sense it, but you're not always sure how it works. Some of those things are tied, of course, to spiritual realities. And so that's what we're going to talk about today is some of the spiritual realities that the Bible is going to present and talk about and kind of put before us. And so here's what I'm asking you to do if you're willing to. Would you consider just kind of reserving judgment and just hear what the Bible has to say? What we're going to do is just kind of lay it out. Oh, look, it's starting now. Super, super fun. This happens every time we talk about these things, right? So if you want to know kind of what the Bible has to say in normal, kind of plain language, what that story looks like, that's what we're going to talk about. Okay, so would you just kind of hear the story, look at the information, then you can make your assessment as we go. Here's kind of what the Bible lays out. Most of us are good with this part. The Bible is going to be always existing and being real. Many of right? Thank you for the option if needed. Right, we're going to, the Bible's going to say, hey, like God exists. We're going to have God being the creator. Some of what God created or some of whom God created is here we go. Are we switching over? We're switching over. We're going to talk about in the angelic realm, right? And those angels were created to serve him and to worship him and to kind of be namely, it would start with a rebellion. One of those Satan, the accuser, he's got a bunch of names all throughout the Bible. In essence, cause a rebellion. So what he would do, would be worshipped like God or in heaven. He would create a war. A third of the angels are going to eventually be influenced to go with him. There's an uprising that happens, and then God the earth, you're going to be banished from his presence, and now you've got this war that is happening in heaven, and you and I don't see it. We wouldn't, God didn't tell us about it. I'm just kind of summarizing the story for us. That reality
of the fact that the devil or Satan with one another is the reality that you are in, and here's you and I, here's what we can kind of know. We're just going to, for the sake of our conversation, imagine this is just humanity. You and I are told that this is what is going on, that there are angels and there are demons and there is Satan and there are human beings, and there's all this kind of happening behind the scenes, but none of this are we able to look out with our eyes and go, there, it's happening, got it. I see what's going on right now. So human beings, when we were created, we were born into the middle of this conflict. So Satan and the angels that followed him would be called demons. And this whole realm is now against what God is doing. He hates all that God loves. And there's a conflict that is playing out between these kind of spiritual forces, the reality of it, and we are born into the middle of that. We are born in the middle of that. Now, I realize that that's a lot to take in if you never heard that story before. If you can take in the rest of it and hear kind of how it plays out, it's going to make, I think, more and more sense. And I would just tell you this. You're hearing this from somebody who did not grow up in church, who did not have access to this story, who would not have believed even in the first part, I did not even believe in God. So today I would tell you I've gone all the way from not believing in God to certainly not believing in any of the rest of this to looking at this story that we're going to talk through over the next several weeks and saying there is no story that I have found that sufficiently deals with all of what I interact with in my life and all that I observe except for this story. There's a bunch of problems, and I would argue if you're in the place where you don't believe in God or you don't believe in Satan, you don't believe in evil, you don't believe in sin, you're going to have a really hard time explaining why the world is so broken. I've been there. I've been on the other side of that equation trying to argue from that perspective, and I'll tell you, it is a tough place to argue from because I haven't found any sufficient solution to deal with all of that, because we should be able to be better than this by now. We should be able to evolve past all this if that's all a true path. However, we still got a lot of problems, and I tend to find these same set of issues that I run into over and over again. So I tell you all of that to give you a little bit of background so we can dive into the conversation, and I'll just warn you, if you stay with us here, we're going to unpack this, and I think it's going to, here's the thing, this conversation is not going to lead you to a place where you think there's a demon behind, you know, every little thing that happens in your life, and if you embrace this conversation, what you're going to walk away with is an incredible perspective that's going to help a lot of what happens in life make a little more sense, right? And you'll know what to do with it. And here's where it's going to start. We're going to grab this passage in Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul is going to say this. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. He says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Okay, so let's unpack this just a little bit. He says, hey, finally, here's the thing to lock into. What I want you to do is to be strong in the Lord. To be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Here's what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, hey, I want you to be strong in you. I want you to be strong in the Lord. And that idea of being strong in the Lord is that it's something that I'm continually doing. And this is not like a one and done, and once I'm strong in the Lord, I'm good to go. This is something I'm going to have to fight for on a regular basis. He says, hey, be strong in the Lord. Lock in. Be aware of what's happening spiritually. Tie into God's strength, his mighty power. He's going to talk about the full armor of God. We're going to talk about that in the weeks to come. He says, but here's the why, and this is what we want to get to. Why? So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So here's the assumption. The assumption is that the people reading this, the Ephesians that are taking this in, understand what Paul's saying to a degree. He's saying, hey, the devil, Satan, has schemes that he is performing on humanity. We're going to talk about what some of those schemes are today. And he is purposefully trying to have an onslaught against you and I. The way that we stand against that onslaught is by being strong in the Lord, in his mighty power, in engaging something the Bible's going to talk about is the armor of God. He goes on and says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. This is critical. Our struggle, that word struggle, is close conflict, our wrestling match, our battle, our war. Right? This is hand-to-hand combat. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's not against each other. This thing I just said, this thing that the Bible says that I just repeated, is absolutely revolutionary for human relationships. Because if this is true, that our struggle, my fight, is not actually with you, if yours isn't with me, it's not with that person, it's not with that group. Right, this has direct implications for what we talked about last week with forgiveness. If it's true that our struggle, our fight is not against people, it's not against my neighbor, it's not against that person that hurt me, that person that failed me, it's not against anything having to do with people that believe different than me, this person's not my enemy, this is not my struggle, this is not my fight. That idea, that concept, if that's true, according to what the Bible says, that is revolutionary for human relationships. What he's going to say is this, but it's not against flesh and blood, right? Our fight is not against each other, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. What's he talking about here? He's using a lot of words that describe kind of what's probably a ranking of this whole realm right here. Now, we don't need to understand all of that ranking. All we need to know is that it exists. Okay, it exists. That Satan and his demons, these spiritual forces of evil, are organized and they're intentional. And the idea is that they are purposefully trying to bring destruction to you and I, to humanity. This is a big deal. Now, why would they do that? Here's why. Because our hearts and minds are the battleground of this spiritual war. Here's the thing. For the most part, we don't even know this spiritual war is happening. We don't even know it's in existence. Why? Because the enemy is an enemy that I can't even see. I don't even see that this attack is playing out. But and here's what's happening is God himself in Christ is fighting for our hearts and minds. He has gone to unbelievable lengths to make his love, his grace, his mercy, his passion for us clear and accessible. He's gone to incredible lengths to preserve his word, to set us true, because Jesus said, if you know the truth, the truth is going to set you free. He's gone to incredible lengths to help us understand what he has done for us in Jesus. He is fighting to include us in his family and to set us free from any form of deception or destruction that would come from the evil one. God is fighting for us, and this whole realm over here is fighting against us, trying to bring destruction and distraction and to destroy everything that God loves. And the epicenter, the battleground of all of that, probably there's a broader base, but the central point of all of that is you and I. Did you know that? That you and I were born, sounds a little mind-blowing to hear it at first. You and I were born into a battleground, and our hearts and minds, our affections and our loyalties, that is what is being fought for. you and I, what we believe and what we think and what we choose to love, is what's being fought for. That is the reality of what the Bible presents. And we don't know it, we're just born into it and into the norms of our world, and yet that's exactly what the Bible is going to describe. And so Paul is going to look at you and I and say, hey, be strong in the Lord so that you can stand against what's happening here, so that you can be aware of some of that reality. The Bible's going to say this in 1 Peter, be alert and of sober mind. Kind of, that basically says, wake up. Wake up, right? Wake up to reality. Be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. It says, resist him. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the whole world, throughout the world, is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So Peter's going to say, hey, you guys got to wake up to this. You got to wake up to this. What's happening in your life and what's happening in your mind and in your heart is not just it's not just difficulty or trauma or conflict or a wrestle of faith. The Bible is going to say what's actually happening here is there's a wrestle, a struggle, a battle with evil, and the stakes are pretty high. The stakes are sky high. Now, what we're going to see here in a little bit is that Jesus is victorious over all of this. It's not as if there's an equality between Jesus and Satan or Satan and God. The name of Jesus is a name above all other names. We're going to see that in a minute. And what's happening here is real, that there is real damage that is playing out, and that these are powerful beings that have been alive a long time, have studied human behavior, and know how to bring temptation and destruction to us, because we are on the planet far shorter time, and we begin to see that what's happening behind the scenes is kind of purposely set up to trick us or cause us to believe something that's not true. And all of this is this battleground that we're in the middle of. It won't last forever. It will conclude with Jesus being victorious, not just in reality, in the fact that he rose from the dead and he has the name, but that is there's going to come an ultimate day when all of these who are against God will be punished and will be put away into the lake of fire. That's all coming. Today, you and I live in the middle of this battle that we're describing today. And at first, that's hard to get our heads around. It's a reality that's, again, hard to see, but it has enormous ramifications. Sometimes there is an unseen world playing out all around us, and we don't even realize it until we have our eyes open to it and look back, and then it becomes clear as day. I remember hearing this story of, have you guys ever heard the story of how hand washing became a thing? Anybody ever heard this story before? Okay, this is a fascinating one. So there were all, back in the day, this is like in the 1840s, all these moms were dying. Okay, all these moms were dying. They're giving birth, they're having children, then they would get a fever, and then they would die. And then the death rate of moms giving birth was way higher in some parts where doctors were set up than others, and everybody was confused about it. They didn't understand what was going on. So this one doctor started to ask some real penetrating questions to try to figure out what is happening here. What is happening here? I'm not sure why these moms in this hospital, they're dying, and other moms in another hospital that they don't have near the death rates that these ones do. What's the problem here? And here's what he discovered. What was happening is this: before bacteria was discovered, and what was going on is the doctors who were doing autopsies and studying dead bodies, right? They're opening up dead bodies and doing surgery over here. They were walking from those autopsies right over to the moms who were giving birth, and then they were helping those moms to give birth, and they're walking back and forth without washing their hands. You're like, that's disgusting, right? And here's the thing. You know that's disgusting because you understand and recognize and believe something that is unseen generally to all of us. We all know and believe that now and recognize that's reality, but for a whole bunch of years, nobody knew that was a thing. So they were just living. They're just living life. They're like, well, what's the big deal? We don't know we need to deal with bacteria and hand washing, and there's this enemy and there's this threat that's happening behind the scenes that I can't even get my head around. All of a sudden, when they became sober and alert to that reality, that little tweak, that recognition that this is a thing, they start washing hands and all of it changes. Here's the reality. When I start to have my heart and mind aware and my eyes opened to this reality, which Hollywood would take and try to make this into a different thing, you and I begin to see life and to see what's happening in our world very, very differently. Very, very differently. We can see with awareness, and we can see with eyes that see clearly. Now, want to make sure you hear loud and clear, the demonic realm and Satan, the evil one, the devil, again, he's powerful, but he is not even close to as powerful as who God is or who Christ is. Paul's going to say this earlier in the book of Ephesians. He says this, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know his incomparably great power for us who believe. Listen to this. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Listen, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked. Everybody hearing that and reading that from Paul recognizes that in Ephesians 1 and in Ephesians 6, he's talking about all these same powers. All of the powers that could possibly exist, the name of Jesus has been raised higher than all of that, and we can trust that and we can know that. It's critical that we recognize that Christ is victorious over all powers and authorities. When we talk about a spiritual war, we are fighting from victory, not for victory. It's not unclear who wins in this thing. Jesus has already won. We just have to stand and hold ground and live in the middle of the tension between now and when Jesus returns. But he is victorious. He has beaten death. He has the name above all names, and I can claim his name and call on his name in any situation and know that the name of Christ is powerful and is full of authority. Now, I want to recognize and just drill one step deeper. Again, we can't solve it all in one day, but I want us to begin to get our heads around an example of how Paul breaks this down in 2 Corinthians 2. He says, anyone you forgive, I also forgive. Right? And what I have forgiven, if there's anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. He's talking about forgiveness, and then watch what he does. He ties it to the spiritual. He says, in order that Satan might not outwit us. He recognizes that there's a broken set of relationships. Forgiveness is needed. Healing is needed. Restoration is needed. Why? Because Satan might outwit us if we don't deal with that. He says this, for we are not unaware of his schemes. And here is the central problem, and one of the reasons we're having this series is this. We are unaware of his schemes. The reality is, as a general populace, we tend to be unaware of what Satan is doing. And it's with awareness that I can have alertness. It's with understanding that I can have sobriety, and I can begin to see what's happening and understand it more and more. So, Ryan, what does this look like, man? What do you mean? Let's try to get practical with it, at least to a degree. What are some of the schemes of the enemy? Let's break it down. Here's what the enemy does. I'm just going to run through a few examples, and we'll dig deeper in these throughout the series. He fosters division. He fosters division. Here is what Satan is doing. He's saying, hey, if I can get this thing broken, if I can get you to hate you, if I can get to think you to think you're the problem, if I can move battle from here to here, all of a sudden I have divided humanity and divided families and divided communities and divided relationships. And the more divided and hateful people become, the less they can grab hold of the love of God and have healing in their life. He is actively fostering division. He is steering towards discouragement. This is absolutely rampant today, right? He is trying to pull an individual to believe that which is discouraging. Why do I even do this? Why do I even try? I should just quit. I should just throw in the towel. See, nobody cares. See, nobody reached out. No one's paying attention to me. I'll never change. Man, guys, where do those thoughts come from? You think that's from you? See, there's an enemy of your soul trying to bring destruction to you and I. And what Paul's saying is, you got to wake up to what's happening right now. You got to wake up because you're taking hits and you don't even realize you're taking hits. This isn't from you. This doesn't originate from you. It originates from evil, and the agenda is an agenda of destruction. He hates you. And so the lies of all, you can't trust them. You can't have a relationship with them. Nobody cares. That discouragement is a scheme of the enemy. He tempts pride. You don't need help. You don't need Jesus. You can do it on yourself. You're a good person. You know what? You don't need the gospel, and you don't need the church, and you don't need to reach out and ask for somebody to help you out. You don't need humility. You don't need to grow anymore. You've put in your time. You're good to go. You're fine. That thing that you're dealing with, nobody knows about, you don't need to bring it up. It's fine. You've got it handled. Other people are way worse. You're better than them. He tempts pride. He makes accusations. When we sin, which we will all sin, everyone will. When you and I fail, what the enemy is going to do, he's going to sound like this. He's not going to look at us and say that you did something wrong, or you did something sinful, or you did something evil. He's going to say, you are evil. You are sinful. You are unlovable. He's going to make accusations about your personhood. He is called the accuser of the brethren, the one who makes accusations against God's people. He's going to say these things, and in the inner thoughts of our hearts, we're going to believe stuff that is not true about us. Why? Because that's how we become dismantled and ineffective. He distracts. Man, have I felt this, and I bet you have too. The unbelievable and overwhelming desire to be distracted. I mean, we see this happen. Sometimes distraction is helpful and fun, right? And we see this sometimes in parenting. Sometimes when kids are like, oh, my knee hurts, you're like, let's go play. And they're like, okay, right? That's great. This is not that. Here's what distraction looks like. Man, maybe we should work on our marriage. You know what? Never mind. Let's scroll. You know what? Something needs to change in my life. I think I've got, you know what? Let's turn the TV on for a minute. Here's think over here, look over here, whatever is going on. How do I get you to not look at the reality of what's happening? How do I not, think about it. If it's true, if this fact is true, that 10 minutes of honest, painful, serious thought could lead me to a place where my life is changed in radical ways. If that's true, and I think it's true. I think the reality is in my life, 10 really painful, honest minutes where I say, Lord, help me know what needs to change. Help me know what radical decision I need to make right now to see your power unleashed in my life. 10 minutes. The reality is most of us will not spend 10 minutes doing that. Why? Because it hurts a lot, and there's a whole series of distractions that would pull us away from that 10 minutes, because anything to keep you from moving into the power and the transformation of Jesus Christ in your life, the enemy is going to unleash. That's what he's doing. To distract, to pull you away from from life. Here's another one, to tell lies. To tell lies. There is the spewing of both accusations and lies that are pouring into our hearts and minds. Sometimes those lies will pour over a whole society. Sometimes they show up individually. No one can love you. You can't tell anybody about that, or they'll all reject you. You'll never change. Guys, that whole realm of untruths, have you ever stopped and thought about, why do I think that way? Where do those thoughts come from? Am I the only one that has them? Here's the thing I know now. I didn't know this before. I used to think only I had those kind of thoughts. You know what I know now? You all have them. You all have them. Everybody has these kinds of experiences I'm talking about. Say, Ryan, you're saying that with a lot of confidence. Yep, you know why? Because I know this is what's happening. This is what's going on in your life and mine. And the reality is if I actually became aware of that, if I actually became aware that the enemy is trying to help me have a break in my relationship with God, that he's trying to have a break between my relationship with people, right? What are the two major commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. If he can shut me down and get me distracted and discouraged and pull me under, guess what happens? Then the power of Christ through my changed life won't change or impact any other lives. If he can dismantle and cause me to be dysfunctional, if I can get sucked under the tide, no one is impacted by the transformation, the impact that Christ could be having in me. And then the domino effect stops in my life. Here's what might be eye-opening and a little unnerving is we aren't that big of a deal, but for some reason God has chosen to love us a lot. God has chosen to love us a lot. He has chosen to love us a lot. He has chosen to pour out his power and his strength into our lives. He's chosen for us to be a vehicle of his glory. He's saying, I want, because of your transformation, I want people to know my heart and my will and my mind because of what's happening in you. I don't know why he's chosen to do that, but he chose to. Jesus didn't come to die for the animals or the planet. He came to die for you and me, for people. And the enemy, what he's fighting against is he's fighting against people, against you and I. Say, Ryan, you're pretty serious about this, man. You're kind of intense right now. I don't know what else I'm supposed to do if I read this with an honest eye. If what the Bible's saying here is true, how could I have any other response? Most of the time, I think I'm not taking this serious enough. I'm not awake enough. My eyes aren't opened enough. I'm asleep and distracted and fragmented just like everybody else. If this is true, it has massive ramifications for all that I do and for my days here on earth. Because here's the reality. If Satan has chosen to destroy you, which he has, by the way, I'm not just talking to him. He's got people that work for people. He's got demons, angels that are unleashed all over the place. Not just him. His forces, that whole thing, to bring destruction to you and I, here's what he must conclude if that's the case, that you are a threat. You're a threat. And God can use you in powerful ways. Have you ever experienced an overwhelming desire to plunge yourself into discouragement? If you find yourself combating lies, dealing with distractions, struggling not to make somebody else in your life the enemy, probably what's going on is there's a conclusion that's drawn that you are a threat to evil. You are a force in the kingdom of God. for his power to bring love and transformation and difference to all the people around you. Because there's a side of this where I would say, I don't know how to make this any more real for us. It's becoming more and more real in my own heart and mind. It's motivating. It's deeply sobering. Say, Ryan, where do we land today? And we have to just draw the line and we'll continue the conversation. But here's, of course, the takeaway. It's this. To be strong in the Lord is to refuse to partner with evil. Here's part of what I want you to walk away with. When I sin, I'm not just being a good Christian kid or a good boy or girl. I'm not just being a good religious person. When I sin, what I'm doing is I am partnering with evil. I'm partnering with evil. When I say yes to believing a lie, to going against what God has for me, what I'm doing is I'm partnering with evil. The evil that wants to kill and destroy, I'm saying I'm on your team. I'm on your side. I'm changing jerseys and I'm playing for the other team. That's the picture that the Bible paints of the reality that we're in. Doesn't mean I've lost my salvation, but I am batting for the other team at that moment. When I am strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, I'm refusing to participate or cooperate or advance what's happening here. So here's part of the question. I hope maybe this is a thing that maybe causes us to lose sleep this week. What if following Jesus is more than just being part of the good church in the area? What if it's about more than just feeling good on a Sunday? What if following Jesus is being on the side that is bringing hope and restoration and transformation and rescue to those who are dying and being attacked, who are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd? What if it's opposing evil? What if that desire within you that sparks anger when you see something wrong that's happening in the world, what if the answer to that is you looking and saying, I'm going to be strong in the Lord and pick up my Bible and stand against evil? When you have that feeling of, I don't know what to do, but I feel like I need to do something, what if the something to do is to stand strong in the Lord and in his mighty power? Well, what if you were put here to bring hope and transformation to somebody like me? What if there's a Ryan in your life right now? I thank God for the handful of different people who told me the truth, who penetrated evil with truth, who had the guts to go there with me, who had the vision to see past my very poor and sinful behavior and say, that right there could become a child of God. Jesus died for that one. I'm going to go bring the gospel to that one. See how God might be able to get through to him, even though he says he doesn't even believe in God and his life is an absolute disaster morally. I think I could see how God could work in his life. And those folks told me the truth and they walked away and they thought it was a failure. But the seeds of the gospel grew in me. What if God put you here and your fight against discouragement or your fight against forgiveness or your fight against distraction, or believing truth and shutting down lies? And what if all of that is actually you refusing to partner with the enemy and saying, I am landing in a place where I am choosing the side I'm going to be on? Not just a prayer once for heaven, but an act of loyalty that says, here's my allegiance. Here's my allegiance. I land here. I land here. This is what my heart's going to be about. This is what my mind's going to be about. Lord, would you make my life about this? Folks, if you came today and you just thought, man, I was just looking for like a solid church service, sorry to disappoint. Sorry to disappoint. What the Bible says is arresting. It's arresting. It's unsettling. It's disturbing. Not because I'm worried that a demon's going to take me out and cause Hollywood poltergeist thing to happen. That's not it. What's far more scary than that is that I have an enemy that I have to stand against. There's no fear that I need to land in because of the name of Jesus, but there's a reality that I have to awaken to and that I can fall asleep on. Paul's essentially saying, don't sleep on spiritual warfare. Don't sleep on the evil one. This is real. You got to pay attention. You don't misunderstand what's happening here. I know I'm opening up a can of worms. We're going to unpack it and dive into it and give you some handles to grab hold of over the next several weeks. Can you land here where you just say, can every time you interact with the Lord, every time you think about truth, every time you pray, can you begin to see this picture? That you're in the middle of a battle, that there's a battle for your heart and mind, and when I choose the Lord, I'm choosing loyalty, not religious performance. Not just tradition, not just because my mom and dad want me to. I'm choosing from the heart where I land with my life. As the band comes up, as you bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Father, I do pray that the eyes of our hearts would be opened. Lord, I pray that you would continue to open my heart and my mind to your power, to your love, to the fact, Jesus, that your name is the name above all names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. God, I pray today that you would help us to be sobered by this. Not scared, but sobered. Lord, would you cause us to be alert today to the fact that there's an enemy of our soul and there's a lover of our soul that has paid the ultimate price to rescue and to save. Lord, would you help us to see it for what it is and to believe the incredible truths that you've said about us. Jesus, we say thank you today as the one who has rescued and is rescuing us from all evil and all untruth. Meet us here even now.